This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We've got Alan Greenfield and Rick Hilberg and Jerome Clark and Tim Beckley and guest co-host Jay Randall Murphy. And before we go on, listening to what Alan said, Jerry, do you have any further comments before we move on?
Yeah, I don't agree with Alan's reading of history, and I think that he misunderstood something. And I said that the McCarthy era ended in 1954. In the 1950s, Communist Party had been completely desiccated. Nobody's arguing about that. Richard Nixon's career is a whole other story. And Nixon makes his name as a political figure when he was a congressman from California in 1948 with the Alger Hiss case, which was an espionage case involving a guy who had a long career in U.S. government service and was retired from the State Department when he was accused of, in 1948, by Whitaker Chambers of being a Soviet spy, which he was. We now know that. That wasn't McCarthyism, because that was an actual case involving actual espionage. But what the Hiss case did was trigger a hysteria that made McCarthy and his allies possible. Richard Nixon's career started in the sort of milieu of anti-communism and Soviet espionage, but his career past the McCarthy era really took a different tack. I have read virtually every major biography of Richard Nixon that's ever been published. So I know something about Nixon, whom I do not admire, so I'm not defending. He was not a McCarthyite for his entire political career. He just got started in the anti-communist milieu. He was a member of the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1948 when the Hiss case emerged. By the latter 1950s, yes, there was still anti-communist feeling, some of it justified, some of it on the historical side. But the McCarthy era has a beginning and an end. Now, it continued, HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee, continued into the 1960s, and it was still possible for HUAC to make mischief and accuse some innocent people. And, of course, that's not good. Nobody defends that. But the era of intense destructive witch hunts is really confined to, at its most intense moment, to the McCarthy era. And McCarthy was censored by the U.S. Senate in 1957, by which time he had collapsed into alcoholism and was completely ineffective. After the 1954 Army McCarthy hearing, McCarthy was just kind of a ghost who haunted the halls of the Senate, and he died fairly young, of cirrhosis of the liver in 1957.
Let me say that what I'm talking about is, just looked up the definition in two different things. Merriam-Webster says, broadly, defamation of character or reputation through such tactics. So I was not necessarily referring just to McCarthy, but to people that use that tactics. And one other point, okay, that's very important. I don't think that you have to have been a fan of McCarthy. In fact, if you read books on McCarthy, you would find that it was Nixon who stalled McCarthy while he was being censored because he was Eisenhower's hatchet man. That was the way of it. But be that
Eisenhower, in fact, despised McCarthy. And
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. It does matter.
Jerry, go ahead, please. Alan, we'll get back to you, and then we got to wrap this discussion. It's getting off track. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, this gets off UFOs anyway, but no, McCarthy was not Eisenhower's hatchet man. That is really a gross.
No, Nixon was Eisenhower's hatchet man, is what I just said.
It's enough, I think, for this. Let's just leave it, the politics out of it right now. Excuse me.
Communist hysteria didn't end with the 50,000 Americans killed in Vietnam based on a theory that, of the domino theory that all of Asia would go communist.
All right, I don't want to talk about the Vietnam War. I'm talking about UFOs. Let's focus on UFOs. And I just want to ask you, there is a connection which I want to ask you about here, Alan. But first, before we go to your history, the possibility here, was there early government interest in UFO believers because of a possible fear they may be infiltrated by foreign spies?
Yes, that's what I was told by Dewey Fournet, who was intimately involved in the Air Force investigation and certainly was privy to the information from the CIA panel in 1953. Of course there was. That's all that I'm talking about. You can call it whatever you want, anti-communist hysteria, or if you are heavily anti-communist, there is an alternative view of that. It was red baiting was a horrible thing, and it went on for a very long time. It kind of got broken in the film industry by Kirk Douglas, who allowed Douglas Trumbull to use his real name because he had been labeled a communist, which he was. But there were a lot of people who were, you know, we were allied with the Soviet Union in World War II. So there were a lot of pre-war communists who came to realize sort of post facto that the communists in the Soviet Union were not the sort of armchair communists in this country.
I'm going to ask you something here. I need to get off this. Okay. Tim, you made a comment before, which was important, that the FBI did keep files on UFO contactees such as George Adamski.
Well, George Van Tassel, I know I have a report here in my files. It runs about 20 pages that the FBI did in investigating the not so much the claims of the contactees, but their political ideology. I guess they were concerned that the Space Brothers were talking about world peace and a moneyless society and things that they considered communism. I mean, that's basically why they kept tabs on the contactees. I don't think that they were so concerned with them meeting up with the people from other planets, because obviously they didn't buy that for a second. Now, my own opinion on this, and I'm sure that nobody will agree, that there has been a government cover-up, especially in the early days, because a lot that was going on in the skies was because of the fact that we had bought over under Project Paperclip about 5,000 Nazi, and I do repeat, Nazi scientists and engineers to work on our space program. And I think that a lot of the things that went on, including Roswell, I mean, Nick Redford talks about them as being mutants of some sort. But these were the government wanted to cover up the fact, I think, that they were in collusion with these Nazi scientists and engineers, including Wernher von Braun. I've seen photos of him in an SS uniform. So suddenly these very evil people, which they were brought over here, and they became our space heroes. So I think a lot of the idea or concept that these craft were interplanetary, the government would rather have you not believe in UFOs at all. But if you were going to believe in UFOs, you should certainly put them as far away as ground zero as possible and move them into outer space, because I don't think they wanted to be connected with some of these early experiments that were going on.
Alan, what's your evidence for that?
That was Tim.
Oh, that was me. What's the evidence? Well, I've written several books on the subject, but I don't suppose that any of you might have read any of them, because most of the people in ufology just seem to keep to their own ideology and thoughts and don't really want other people's opinions.
We got to stop here. We got a lot more to come. Okay, it's getting interesting here now. The interactions with Jerry Clark, Rick Hilberg, Alan Greenfield, and Tim Beckley. Our guest co-host, just sitting there and watching the wheels go by, is J. Randall Murphy.
You're in the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Chances are you wouldn't mind having more energy, better digestion, or more comfortable joints and muscles, right? But if you've taken supplements before without much success, be aware that most supplementation fails to address the body's number one antioxidant and detoxification system. Free radicals and toxins on a daily basis assault our bodies. Stopping the inflammation they create and to successfully detoxify requires great quantities of the body's primary antioxidant, glutathione. To successfully turn on whole body glutathione production and cleanse all 37.2 trillion cells requires large amounts of the peptide cysteine, which can only come from food, and a little help from our frequency encoding science. You cannot buy cysteine in a pill. Nature's richest source of cysteine is raw whey protein powder. One World Whey is the only frequency encoded, energetically enhanced raw whey derived from Amish raised grass-fed cows. Try it and you just might like how much better you may feel. Please call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
If there's a toxic chemical, biological, gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Anyway, teen ufology strikes back some spirited debates, especially involving Jerry Clark and Alan Greenfield. Little participation from Tim Beckley. We also have Rick Hilberg. Our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. Chris O'Brien would have loved to have been here for this one. Also, what's going to happen is we have another radio show we want you to listen to. It's called After the Paracast. And it's unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen next on that show. And you can only hear it if you join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We give you the commercial-free version of this show and other goodies, plus.theparacast.com. So we have a little interaction there towards the end with Tim Beckley and Jerry Clark.
Well, you talk about the evidence. Well, first of all, if you remember a lot of the early UFO cases, first of all, the beings on board the ship were very Aryan in appearance, or said to be so, right? There was a connection between some of the early UFO contactees and the Nazi or neo-Nazi movement. Some of the people who had contact or reported a meeting with these beings said the pilots of the UFOs or the occupants often spoke with a German accent or even conversed amongst themselves in German. So I don't know. I think it's just the government brought all these scientists over. Why did they bring them over? It was for a particular reason, because the Germans were working on their own circular devices towards the end of the war. Now, there is some speculation, and it's open to conjecture, of course, whether this information had been received by them through occult or channeling methods. If you check the history of the Vril Society, going back even to 1920, they were holding channeling sessions and supposedly receiving information on how to construct a variety of disc-shaped crafts. I think some of these were actually developed in the latter part of the Second World War, and the government would rather have you believe, if you're going to believe in UFOs, that they were extraterrestrial. There is really little evidence that these craft are extraterrestrial. If you get into the subject for 50 years like I have, there's either very little going on to prove that these things are off planet. If you take all the evidence at hand, it shows that the objects, or at least a lot of the experiences that people are having, are very paranormal in nature and have nothing to do with physical beings from, you know, some other star system.
Jerry, you want to respond?
Yeah, Tim, I'm aware of everything you're saying, and virtually everything you're saying is either true or at least arguable. But I don't understand how you connect these things. When you're trying to reconstruct history, you have to have bridges between
things. Well, Jerry, I know history of UFOs just as well as you do.
I'm not talking about the history of UFOs. I'm talking about history, just history generally.
What exactly did I say that is not part of history? Did we not bring over all these Nazi and German...
Exactly. So how do you connect these things? I don't see any connections.
Where were the major
But I don't see the connection that you have to draw.
Maybe you don't want to see the connection.
Let's go back and forth. Let Jerry finish, then Tim can talk. Let's keep it calm. Jerry?
The prehistory of ufology goes like this. There was speculation about extraterrestrial visitation in the 19th century. In fact, I've written about it fairly extensively, showing where people believed that there was evidence that people were coming from Mars, or it was possible to have psychic contact with Martians, channel their messages, or even visit there in an out-of-body state. There were also claims that there were physical devices that had come from another planet and landed on Earth. These stories are all over the 19th century. Charles Fort picks them up. Charles Fort is the first ufologist.
Does that make them literally true?
Look, I'm not arguing for or against the extraterrestrial hypothesis. That's a whole other conversation, which I don't think you understand my views about. But I'm just giving you the history, the prehistory of UFOs. The guy who puts the extraterrestrial hypothesis and argues it in his first three books is Charles Fort. If you look at the newspaper coverage in the summer of 1947, people were not talking about extraterrestrial UFOs. They just weren't thinking like that. When extraterrestrial UFOs start getting mentioned here and there in the early press coverage, it's almost always from members of the Fortean Society who say there was this guy who wrote about flying saucers before there were flying saucers. This also affected the Air Force guys, who also became aware of Fort and read Fort. In fact, Fort is mentioned in some of the early Project Sign documents. It was Charles Fort's thinking that gave these people this idea that maybe these aren't secret naval aircraft or secret Soviet aircraft because they have this prehistory that goes way back in decades, maybe centuries. And so even the early Air Force guys who begin to think in terms of interplanetary UFOs are basing their ideas on what they read in Fort or heard from people who had read Fort. There wasn't any kind of sinister conspiracy.
Well, but that's your opinion, Jerry.
It seemed like a logical conclusion that this is what, that if they weren't from the Soviet Union or they weren't from some other branch of the U.S. service, they had to be interplanetary. There wasn't any kind of sinister machination going on.
Well,
the Air Force really didn't like that kind of thinking and quashed it quite early on in the history of the UFO projects. In fact, Project Sign was effectively ended when its personnel suggested that UFOs were interplanetary. What the Air Force wanted people to believe was that there was nothing going on except hoaxes and mistakes.
Well, the Air Force might have wanted you to believe that, but if you were going to believe in UFOs, they wanted you to believe that it was something from outer space. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And you talk about proof or evidence. Now, when these Germans were brought over after the war, where were they planted? They were all planted in the Southwest. Is that correct? Like around New Mexico? Where were the earliest UFO sightings that took place? New Mexico, Arizona, Texas?
Actually in the north, in Northwest. Arnold.
Oh, Kenneth Arnold. Yeah, but no, but...
Emil Smith, Captain Emil Smith. Those were
the original sightings were in the
Northwest. Then there were sightings all over the country.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely. A lot of the good sightings that are very concrete took place in that area of the Southwest. And what is, of course, the one that people point to is the Roswell incident. Well, either nothing happened in Roswell, because it certainly wasn't a Mogul balloon, or something happened there. Was it really a spaceship? There's very little evidence for that either.
I agree with that.
It points more and more, at least the work that I've done, an investigation that I've done, that a lot of these craft were built right here on Earth. Now, whether they the ideas originated from somewhere outside this planet, there's a good possibility of that, too. Well, yes, they could be from various places. They don't just have to be from, one place. When we talk about a UFO, we talk about an unidentified object.
Spirited discussion, unexpectedly, with Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley, and Jerome Clark. Rick Hilberg is just being a gentleman. Our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm from everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
May I say something, please?
You may say something, please, Alan Greenfield.
No, don't be so polite as to ask.
Alan is never polite when he doesn't.
Just step right in there.
I try. I mean, the last time that I saw Jerry in the flesh, we had somewhat acrimonious debate at a talk that I gave in a side room unadvertised at the fake magazine UFO convention. So I wanted to say something nice about Jerry. I have been saving it in the program, and that will segue fairly well to how I got into ufology, although ufology is part of a much broader, I consider it part of the paranormal universe. But in any case, the nice thing about Jerry, what was referred to earlier as, you know, corresponding by tape, actually the National UFO Conference, which ran 50 years, started off as a tape conversation between Rick and Bob Miller, was it, Rick?
No, actually, it was between you and I, Alan, back about 1963, because we responded. And
yeah, but there was a third person in Ohio that was on it. But in any case, not the substance. I just wanted to mention that in passing. It was called tapespondence, where in science fiction circles, it was called round robins, where you would send it on and send it on and send it on. Jerry was involved in one of those, and he said one of those things that really, really stuck with me. This was after like 2 years of Jim Moseley calling me, and this was in the days when long distance calls were expensive. And we would talk pretty much all night long, and mostly from 1966 on, he was just, you've got to meet this guy, John Keel. You've got to meet this guy, John Keel. And during our annual New York festivities in the Hilton Hotel, where we got together and didn't have to get out into the crowd, Mosley brought Keel, and then I invited Keel to come down to Atlanta to speak to our group here, which my father paid for. And anyway, he was a very knowledgeable person, but he was extremely peculiar. And I remember that on one of our tapespondence things, Jerry switched voices from that, what you're hearing now, the I know it sort of tone to mysterious, sort of like Keel. And he said, if there's anybody in ufology who's one of them, it's Keel. And I thought, bingo, yep, he's one of the strangest human beings I have ever run across. For one thing, he didn't like to eat. And for someone like me, that's, you know, practically a chassid eating pork. It's just not something that you do. Why is this wrapped around my chair? Doesn't matter. The point being that comment I thought was spot on. I don't believe that Keel was an alien, but I think he was the closest thing amongst us to that. Of course, we do have the complication that God rest their souls, Jim and Gray probably are responsible for a number of the awls that we see in the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. But because they like to do that. They did it to me. They did it to lots of people. But which I've never held against them. But Keel ate it up. However, a lot of genuine stuff. And Keel is responsible for a lot of important insights. But he was a very, very strange duck.
I wrote a piece about Keel when the Operation Trojan Horse was republished a couple of years ago. I had a piece in Fortean Times on the subject. And I quoted a woman's description, which Keel quotes, of her interaction with ultra-terrestrials. And I point out that the description of ultra-terrestrials and their personalities sounded exactly like Keel. It was like this woman was describing Keel himself.
Yeah.
Now, I certainly don't believe that Keel was an ultra-terrestrial.
Nor do I.
Or an alien. But nonetheless, what Alan says, I completely agree with him. I think he was a very strange guy.
Well, actually, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just remembering that tape spondence. That was one of those magic moments. Which, speaking of magic moments, you want to hear how I got into ufology. Right, Gene? Right?
Let's do it quickly
because
we have to get into 2,000 other topics before we go.
2,000. Okay, well, I've got the time. Have you got the beer? By the way, I do read Beckley's books, the ones he sends me for free, but I read them all. I read them all cover to cover.
They are very well worth reading.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely worth reading. And interesting and wild and very close to the Gray Barker type of thing that I knew and loved and miss very much. I think I have genetic ufology in my bloodstream because, you know, you only remember from early childhood things that sort of, so to speak, perk up your ears. And my family went to Miami every year for the month of July. My father was big on doing that. He'd stay for a week, come back to Augusta in those days and work for 2 weeks and then come back and spend another week in Miami. So every July I spent in Miami. And at one point in July of 1952, the only reason I know is retrofitting it because he said, wow, flying saucers flew over the restricted airspace in Washington, D.C. And I perked up like that. I mean, this is, you know, I was, what, 5 years old, maybe six, maybe. It was just, why would I even care? You know, there are many other things that my folks would discuss that might have been. But from that point on, I was, you know, following the story, the ongoing development of this sort of thing. And then in 1960, for reasons that I can't really remember, I joined NICAP. And at that time, they had something called associate member, and I took it literally because I was a kid. And then I started reading Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers, and I don't believe the teen ufology movement, to the extent that it was a movement, could have existed without that section devoted to free publicity.
Absolutely. You got it.
Yeah. So that's right. How I met Kim. That's how I met Gene. That's how I met most of the people, many of which left ufology, but, you know, that were involved at that point. And a few of us are still involved and will be, no doubt, 10 years from now.
Pushing it.
God willing. Inshallah.
All right. I want to move to some things here because we're well past half of the show. We had a debate about the early days of ufology and the impact, Kehoe, Ruppelt, government interest in UFOs, communism, and everything else. And I wanted to look at what people thought about it because we all grew up with the same thought because it was influenced by Major Kehoe. It was influenced by Captain Ruppelt, even if he tried to run away from it for those final three chapters under discussion. That was that UFOs were visitors from other planets. Of course, in the 50s, we were talking about Mars. At some point, though, I think we started moving in other directions, and I'm going to ask Alan to be brief about this, which our listeners know from listening to him on past episodes, is almost an impossibility. But I'm going to ask Alan Greenfield to be brief, where he started looking at UFOs as something more than spaceships, something other than spaceships, something more involved, and I'm going to look at the evolution of the viewpoints in the rest of our panel. And therefore, I'm going to give Alan the opportunity to say the PowerCast. So we have our special teen ufologist episode. And you can see here where we get these guys together in one room, even virtually. The discussion can take many twists and turns. Alan Greenfield, Jerry Clark, Rick Hilberg, Tim Beckley, J. Randall Murphy, who has been the fly on the wall to kind of keep things settled down. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity at below market price at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-backed rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by August 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is August 31st.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay. Now, I think when I started looking at other possibilities for UFOs is when you and I, Alan Greenfield, had that long discussion at a hotel room in Midtown in the 1960s. Alan?
It was at the Hilton, because we always stayed at the Hilton. I'm going to reveal something about that. My parents were always in the next room. I never went to New York in the 60s if my parents didn't go along. But I had the liberal upbringing, and they basically used it as an excuse to do New York. And I did New York in the fashion that I did it. Anyway, yes, we had a discussion, and I think having spent at that point 6 years in ufology and chasing after the notion of spaceships from another planet, first it was Mars, then it was some other solar system, I have even heard the sort of truly ignorant from other galaxies. Do these people actually understand the distances between galaxies? Anyway, so we'll leave that to the late Carl Sagan floating above us even now in one sense or another. We concluded that there had to be another way to look at this. And I said, well, I didn't know anything about quantum physics at that point because I was just out of high school and had just started any kind of higher education. I said, maybe there are other dimensions. And then the next year, I started a thing called Alternate Horizons Newsletter, which had like a 2-year run. Like all the newsletters that you, as you pointed out, it was strictly, you know, it reached 200 people maybe at its peak, and you had to staple it and fold it. Of course, I didn't do my own printing. It got done at my father's office at night. But it sort of set the tone that I used later in a thing called the Para-Ufologist, which had a long run, although it was infrequent and sort of the last of the UFO zines that I did, to discuss things in terms other than the nuts and bolts approach. I used a couple of mostly reasons not to associate UFOs with outer space, because they're not seen pretty much in outer space. They're seen here. I would say that they've always been seen here. Some version of mysterious things in the sky, mysterious sightings of, well, we'll just say beings, and that covers a whole variety of things. As long as the human beings have been recording history or scratching pictures on walls in what I like to call paleo-ufology, because I hate the term ancient aliens for a large variety of reasons, including my appearance on the program. By the way, I met von Braun once, which was, for a Jewish guy, difficult, because I knew his background. But be that as it may, I think that the evidence for being from some other world, meaning another planet, was never there. There was no reason. They weren't seen coming from point A somewhere out there to point B here. They were seen here. And there's an interesting psychological question there if you don't assume that it was something that was planted or I think it was hyped, but I don't think it was planted, that why would people go for that particular solution? I understand that I read the Book of the Damned about Charles Fort way back when I was a teenager, but Fort was very clear that he was kidding around, and he would document real events, and then he would make up something that was meant to be funny, tongue-in-cheek, about what accounts for frogs falling out of the sky or whatever. And if you read it, it's clearly satire. And I don't know, never having really been a member of any Fortean group, I spoke to one of the Fortean groups in D.C. the week that Richard Nixon resigned. I remember that very well, but because it was in D.C. But if Fortians took Fort literally on those theories, that's beyond me. On the other hand, Borderland Sciences was talking about visitations from otherwhere as early as 1945, if I'm not mistaken. And Mead Lane, who was the founding head of that long-running organization, still around, was both an occult initiate, which is something that I have an interest in, and more than an interest, actually, and what you might today call a ufologist. I think that there probably have been speculations of that sort, going back to the dawn of history or prehistory. We even have, what is that line in Cyrano de Bergerac, where when in doubt he jumps up and down and says, "I've just landed from the moon. I am a moon person." You know, that the idea is sort of perennial, but it isn't based on any observations whatsoever. So I began to move towards, you know, looking for an alternate, and then I encountered the Many Worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, and that became my touchstone for those people who read my daily, one would say, compulsive blogging. I think that that probably accounts not only for UFOs, but for a whole variety of things that for some reason are kept in separate pockets, which are very resistant to ever being considered together. My model for how to deal with it is parapsychology. At least they try to be scientific about it. I don't know that I have the correct idea on this, but I suspect I do, and I do. Rick will confirm this, I'm sure, maybe Tim as well, that when we had our 50th anniversary reunion of the people who did the National UFO Conference, I was surprised that there were no ETH proponents left among, you know, us survivors from that period. Everybody had moved towards some version of an alternate reality view of where they come from and how to account for a wide variety of things. Of course, the speaker from the local UFO group a MUFON affiliate, if I'm not mistaken, Rick, if you correct me. He was, you know, pretty much doing ye old nuts and bolts ETH. And
he's had some pretty wild experiences, though. We've had him on our show exploring the bizarre, and he's got some stuff that are pretty paranormal in nature with aliens and, you know, not just physical craft from outer space.
Well, I mean, I don't know the man, so yeah. Rick could speak to that better. But people often, if they're involved in something like MUFON, will become nuts and bolts when they're speaking, as if there were nothing else that was respectable. And respectability is not what ufology or science should ever be about. It's always, in my opinion, something that tries to venture beyond what we know now or think we know now and what might be, and then trying to find evidence that confirms or disconfirms it.
You know what? I want to hear from Rick Hilberg next. He hasn't had a lot of participation. Also, I want to get some comments from Randall, and we'll get into the evolution of thinking from Jerry Clark. But now, Rick, we have just a few seconds left in this segment. We'll go on with the next one. Since Alan is deferring to you there, why don't you pick up on it, and then we'll make this a two-part answer. Go ahead.
Well, regarding, you know, the nuts and bolts people and MUFON and whatnot, I think that's where we're going right now. I think MUFON, as an organization, has evolved a great deal over the past few years. At one time, it was, you know, purely nuts and bolts. But if you look at some of these symposiums that they've, you know, put on in the past few years, there's all sorts of, you know, other things creeping in, not only paranormal subjects, but like I think the one of the topics at this past MUFON convention was the secret space fleet.
You know what? We're going to break there because we've covered that extensively on the show. And neighbors, on this weekend's edition of After the Paracast, we'll be featuring more discussion from me, J. Randall Murphy, Alan Greenfield, and Jerome Clark. You have to be a member of the Paracast Plus to hear it. We've got Rick Hilberg. We've got Jerome Clark, Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley, Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity at below market price at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by August 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is August 31st.